Hello, welcome to Spotlight, a new year of the brightest creativity.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, scarcely have we started the new year, then we're already looking for a new youth bard. A novel from an Irish author set on the Isle of Man. And if your New Year's resolution was to get fitter but have some fun as well, why not try some Manx dancing? Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you may be involved in planning, hoping to create, or would really like to put in the spotlight. Poetic, theatrical, musical, literary, ceramic, sculpture, drag, film, dance, of course. Get in contact. Just email spotlight@manxradio.com or, of course, me, Howard Kane, with an E, at manxradio.com. Love to hear from you. Make it your New Year's resolution to get in contact and featured on the programme, in the spotlight. You see what I did there? Well, happy New Year, one and all. Let's hope it's full of artistic goodness across the island. It is, of course, the year of the Manx language, so we expect lots of Manx-based artistic ventures, or at least more than usual. There's always plenty going on. There's a reasonable Manx flavour to this evening's programme, to be honest. We'll be hearing about the chance to take up Manx dancing shortly. But first, we're barely into 2026 and the search for another bard begins. The youth bard, in this instance. The other bard, Old bard? Senior bard? Adult bard? That doesn't sound right. The bard, I suppose. Well, that search takes place later in the year. Youth bard we're talking about today. I was going to chat to former bard and member of the Bardic Committee, Annie Kizik, myself, to hear more. Annie's still a bard, of course. Once a bard, always a bard. However, the recent snow and ice put paid to those plans. Happily, Annie knows another Manx Radio presenter, Philly Gorn, quite well, mostly through being married to him. And so Philly chatted to Annie about the Youth Bard event.
Well, every year, I think probably for the last 8 years, I think, off the top of my head, the team that is responsible for the Manx Bard Poetry competition, which I'm now involved in, have been running a similar competition at a different time of the year for younger people who can write or would like to write poetry or perhaps just want to test the water. There is a competition at the beginning of the year that, rather than towards autumn time. And this year, the competition entries, if anybody who's interested in being involved in this, have to be in by the end of February. And the actual, when I say a competition, it's not a competition where everybody stands up in front of other people and competes. It's a case of the entrance, if you like, will have a nice, a sort of quiet, informal chat with a couple of existing poets from the Manx Bard Committee, Team Bard, and we'll invite the entrance, really. Would they like to read a poem or two? Say a bit about why they see themselves as the Manx Youth Bard for that particular year, because it is a yearly position, a new bard every year.
And of course, the bards, both senior and junior, are expected not just to be able to write wonderful poetry, but they're also expected to be able to perform.
I think, ideally, yes, of course, we would have all singing, all dancing, very confident people. But in real life, we're asking, particularly with the youth bards, for people with enthusiasm, some ideas. Of course, a sense of the power of words is going to take you a long way in poetry. We're looking for original voices, really. So not necessarily one type of poet. It doesn't have to rhyme, doesn't have to look like anybody else's poetry. It helps, I think, if you read a bit yourself too, of course, to give you an idea. But yes, we're looking for originality, sharing individual voices, and these are young voices we're hoping to encourage here.
And I suppose that's the obvious next question then. What is the age group that you're looking for in this competition.
Yes, the competition is open to anybody between 10 and 17 who lives on the island. So actually, potentially, if you were in year six and you were very keen and fancied it, you could have a go as well. And after that, obviously, the chosen youth bard would be expected to do a few things over the course of the year. And what they did would very much depend on the age and experience, in some cases parental support, and of course be ready to be guided and helped by the existing bard teams and the existing youth bards, who've generally had very rewarding, very different years from what they tell us. Our current Manx youth bard, Ellie Reynolds, was on QE2, has had a great time and become very involved in a sort of poetry activities, not just writing, but reading, reciting. I should mention, talking about reciting, as the young poets are invited to recite a poem or two of their own, you don't have to know it by heart or learn it or anything like that. So don't panic if you think, oh, I'm hopeless at remembering things. So are quite a few of the adult bards, it has to be said.
And why is it important? I mean, why have any bard competition, let alone a youth bard competition?
I think we need to draw upon different inspirations these days than just what's provided for us necessarily online, having information fed to us. I think looking within yourself to produce something unique has huge positive effects on not just the individual who's sort of, you know, exploring their own thoughts and ideas. And I think that's so important in this time and the world we're in, when, you know, a lot of people feel they've sort of been controlled by forces beyond their own control in many ways. But to have individual voices to speak for yourself, huge confidence, to give people confidence in themselves, in their power to communicate, I think that's can be a tremendous force for good for individuals and indeed for the society we live in.
And in terms of entrance, I mean, I know I've been to a few of these things myself before. There's usually a good handful of entrants that apply for this, aren't there?
Yes, and more so as the years go on, and we've had a lot of support from certain secondary schools in particular over the years, and I think some of the youth bards, previous youth bards, have encouraged others and let it be known that they've enjoyed themselves. So word has got round. So yes, we usually get a fair crop of entries each year. Yes.
And what the final question? What would you say to an aspiring youth bard, someone who's thinking they might have a go at this competition? What words of advice would you give?
Well, I'd say go for it. You've got nothing to lose. You've got a lot to gain. I hope it's not an intimidating experience. It's not like going for a job interview as such. We're all quite friendly and have been in the position of applying to be assorted poetry, poets in assorted manner over the years. So we've been there. We know what it's like. If you're wondering if you're good enough, well, you'll never know unless you have a try, will you? And you might be pleasantly surprised.
So if anyone is interested, then how do they find out more?
You can get a copy of the full competition rules from the Manx the Facebook site of the Manx Bard, that's with capital M and B, or you can get an email and this is small case, manxbard, as one word, @gmail.com. manxbard@gmail.com. And you can find in detail then of the assorted information. You can enter up to 3 poems of your own choice, but you don't have to. That's and then you send them on or email them to the Manx Bard team.
Why not have a go? Who knows where it may lead? The new incumbent will succeed current youth bard Ellie Reynolds. We'll hopefully hear more from Ellie about her term in post and some of her wonderful poetry, of course, in the next week or two. From Manx Bards to Manx Dance, and if you've always fancied having a go at Manx dancing but never really known how you could get started, listen up.
My name's Grainne Jochen from Peel, and I'm the founder of Skeath and Jerg, and now the new kind of concept of Manx dancing to get fit and have fun.
You've been known, as you say, with Skeath and Jerg and as a Manx dancer for, well, quite a few years. More years than you probably want to remember.
A long time.
But so, yeah, well, actually, just start from the beginning. What brought you into Manx dance originally?
So family, my dad, who he was part of the big folk revival, you know, back in the 70s. And Manx dancing was very much, I believe, kind of pretty much non-existent. And then all the hippies came along and saved it. And as kids, it was always just part of what we did. It was very normal. And we would go away to festivals and, you know, we're part of Perry Bairn. Manx dance team still going. And so from very young age, you know, from when I could walk, it's always been about Manx dancing, very much a solid in my life, always a constant in my life.
And do you feel, because as you say, at one stage, it almost sort of disappeared, the tradition and the culture of Manx dancing. And then, as you say, through the likes of your dad and family and other people who were interested, it kept it going. And do you feel you're carrying the torch now forward?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think a lot of things died out at that time. It wasn't just Manx culture. I think it was culture kind of across everything, really. And then there was a big resurgence, wasn't there? And slowly but surely, it has been coming back. And I think very much so now, more so than ever than I've seen in a long time, it is making a big resurgence. Obviously, we've got the Year of Manx Language coming up, which is really exciting. And it's just now people realising, actually, I can get involved. I don't have to have been brought up with it. I don't have to have done it since I was 2 years old. It's very much more accessible, and that's a lot about what I'm trying to do now, really, with Manx dancing.
And I think you're absolutely right. I think I've never known a time where there seems to be more enthusiasm and excitement and sort of energy around that whole Manx scene, whether it's dance or music or culture or literature or poetry, whatever. There just seems to be a real sort of a momentum behind it at the moment, doesn't there?
I think in this big digital age that we're in now, people are really getting joy from being together, from meeting people, for learning new skills, doing things physically, you know, going out and making friends, which perhaps we didn't do, you know, a little while ago. And now people are realising, you know, actually this is really fun and this was what life's about.
And this is what this dancing is about, because obviously it's Skeath and Jerg and you dance at a very high level. You're in Morocco recently dancing away there and representing the Isle of Man and spreading the word. But this is more for getting people who might never have danced before, say, come on, give it a whiz. We're not looking for perfection here, just try it out.
And you've hit the nail on the head there. It's not for perfection. It's about having a go and just having a nice time. Manx dancing is so joyous. It's just such a lovely style of dance and really lends itself to people who perhaps haven't done dancing before. And like you say, we do it on a high level, but this is for anyone. This can be for anybody who just wants to have a try. And somebody said the other day, actually, who does Manx dancing, they were like, you're getting fit, but you don't realise it because you're just having fun. You know, I'm sure people who've been to Kaylee's and stuff like that, you know, it's on a very similar vein to Kaylee dancing. I do some as well in my classes. And it's very much about getting moving whilst learning, you know, experience your Manx culture and getting involved. But there's no pressure. It's a safe space. We all get it wrong. We all make fools of ourselves. It's great.
So these new ones, there's adult classes and kids classes as well.
That's right. Yeah. So the adult classes have been a great success. I I started the first one 2 months ago, and it was I was overwhelmed by how many people came along. And we've got about between 20 and 30 come on a Thursday night in St. John's. And then there was more people saying, oh, God, I can't make that one. Would you do some more? And that's what I'm doing now. Kind of come the new year, I thought, right, I'll start some more. And then the kids' classes as well, you know, they're slightly different in that we're helping children to learn basic Manx dancing. It's good for coordination. It's great for exercise, good for mental health, of course. And I'm starting to roll it out into schools as well, which is exciting.
Oh, brilliant. So this is actually sort of during term time, as it were, going in and teaching there.
Yeah, so some of the schools have taken me up on doing a lunchtime class for any pupils who want to. Some have made it part of the timetable. And, you know, Manx dancing was in primary schools. You know, I'm sure you, I don't know if you remember yourself.
I did it, yeah. I wasn't very good, but I did it. Yeah.
And isn't it interesting? I have people come up to me and they're still singing the tunes to the dancers that they learned in primary school however many years ago, because it's become a core memory for them. And it just shows the effect that it has. And it was a shame that it stopped in primary schools. And so I'm here to kind of bring it back.
And is there enthusiasm with the sort of the younger generations coming through? We know there are so many distractions with social media, and, you know, a lot of them might be glued to their phones or tablets or whatever. Is there enthusiasm to actually, you know, put the phone down, put the tablet down, get up there, listen to the music, get dancing?
Well, I think that's on us, really, to normalise it. You know, okay, it might seem weird to them at first, like, what is this that we're doing? Because they've not done it, they've not been doing it. So it's about what I'd like to do is normalise dancing together. Normalise, you know, when they hear a tune come on, oh, we know the dance to this tune. And it's about them recognising that actually dancing is, well, super fun. And I've seen that in my classes. They're having a blast, they're having a great time. And it's, you know, if you go to Ireland or Scotland, very normal to go to Cayley's, very normal to do dancing in schools. So why can't it be normal in Manx schools? What, you know, Manx dancing should be normal. It's part of, should be just part of childhood, really, I think.
Do you think it plays an important part in Manx culture still?
I think it's, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'm a bit advocate of, like, it's nice that things are traditional. It's nice that you're carrying something on, but only if you want to. Like, if I didn't like it, I wouldn't do it. So I think it's great that we are supporting something that has been done for you know, an age-old time. But actually, it holds its own, even if it wasn't traditional. It holds its own because it's really fun and is a really beautiful style of dancing and brings people together and just creates joy.
And can anyone do it? Someone listening to this thinking, yeah, well, I've never really done dancing before. I can't speak Manx. I don't know any Manx tunes. You know, I don't know if I've got much sense of rhythm. Could they still come along and give it a whiz?
100%. I mean, I have people coming along of all different ages, all different abilities, people who've done it before, people who haven't done it before. Some people are realising, oh, gosh, I wish I'd done more of this, you know, and like they're kind of getting stuck in. Some perhaps are coming to my fun classes and going, oh, actually, I'm going to join a dance team because I want to perform. Some people are just like, you know, they just want to do it for fitness. But perhaps things like the gym and sport don't work for them very well, and they want to meet new people perhaps. So I think it'll tick boxes for lots of people, and absolutely people can go at their own pace, you know. I'm not scary.
Well, I don't know. No, she's not. She's not. I'm joking. She's definitely not scary. Classes around the island, in the west, I think in the north as well, down in Castletown.
So at the moment, presently, I've got a class in St. John's, in Peel, and also we're starting down south. And the plan next is to go to Douglas and up north. Just give me time. I've just got to get it all fitted in. But yeah, they kind of generally, the adults ones are early evening classes after work. So you can pop in for 40 minutes, have a dance, and then go home, have your dinner. And those, that seems to be working. So yeah, if they join the Manx Dancing Isle of Man Facebook page, I post all about the classes on there, and they can just drop me a message as well if they've got any questions.
Brilliant. So that's the best starting point if you're thinking, yeah, I might give it a whiz, go to the Facebook page. Is that the ideal way, or any other way, or contact you? Or
yeah, just drop me a message or go on the Facebook page. You know, I'll always respond. And you know, if you're not sure, just come once and have a go. If you don't like it, well, don't come back. But at least you've tried.
You can't say fairer than that, can you? Have a go, and if you don't like it, don't bother again. Very honest from Granier, one of the best Manx dancers on the Isle of Man, of course. What have you got to lose? Who knows? It might become a whole new hobby for a whole new year. You could meet new friends, have fun, and keep fit as well.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
Finally, for this first programme of the new year, a book written by an Irish author, but set in the Isle of Man. The bar at the bottom of Broadway is described by its author, Conor Sharkey, as a warm, witty, beer-soaked tale of crime, camaraderie, romance, and how life is all about the decisions we make. When I spoke to him at his home in Ireland, I began by asking why he decided to set the novel here in the Isle of Man.
Yeah, it's a good question. My relationship with the Isle of Man goes back to just after millennium, actually. I moved over and I worked in a few bars on the island. I worked in the old Manon Hotel in the bar. It was Whiskey Teas at the time. I was the bar manager in there for a period of time. And then I moved to the British down on the quay.
Yeah.
And I spent some time up in the Manx Arms, up in Onchan. So that was obviously a long time ago, but I just fell in love with the island and I've been back pretty much every year since. I go back just on my own and spend some time and just take a wander around and have a few drinks and a bite to eat. And yeah, it's just a lovely place and I love getting back to it, you know.
So did the sort of genesis of this novel, The Bar at the Bottom of Broadway, did this start forming during one of your trips here on the Isle of Man, or did you have the story when you were home and think, yeah, I'll set it on the island?
Yeah, the idea has been percolating for a while, but the book itself came out of nowhere, really. I was writing another book, and while I was taking a short break from it, this idea came up, and I just started writing it. And it went in its own direction, really. It might sound a bit arty, but it really did. And I started early March last year, and by November, it was finished, which is remarkable for me because I'm not a particularly fast writer. So to have it done in that period of time was, it was good for me. And the story took on a life of itself, really. It just took me in this direction. And here we are with the book.
And you do often hear that from authors saying they sort of start. You sometimes actually hear authors say they start in one direction and then when they get going, without their realising, the story shoots off at a tangent. Is that sort of something what happened in this one?
That's really it. I didn't lay down any real groundwork. I didn't sit and work out characters and say, right, this is going to, this guy's going to be doing that and it's going to be set here and it's going to move in that way. The writing just went in its own direction. I'm not sure if I've been very clear about that, but that's just how it happened. I don't know. And when I was doing it, I was Googling, obviously, more austere authors than myself, the likes of Stephen King. Mm-hmm. And he talks about the same, just about books sort of appear, and he doesn't do any background or much research, just books appear. And, he was talking about 3 months being a good period for a book. So because I was wondering, am I being ridiculous here? Who's going to read a book that's, has no planning and that has taken such a short period of time to produce? But we have the book, so I can do no more than that.
So can you give us, no plot spoilers or anything, of course, but can you give us a sort of a basic précis of the storyline within the book?
Oh, of course. The book itself, it's about two cousins, Sean Donnelly, whose nickname is Loaf because his father's a bread man, and his cousin, Johnny Donnelly, who's a bit of a character. And Johnny moves to the Isle of Man, and Sean Donnelly, Loaf Donnelly, then follows him. And together they take on what is a decrepit bar at the bottom of Broadway. It was closed down. The Thirsty Sailor is the name that I've given it. And they bring the Thirsty Sailor back to life, open it up there, and all manner of problems and adventure follow, including a local gangster who turns up demanding protection money. There's an element of romance in Abby, who's one of the bar staff there briefly. And there's also an older character called Magnus Quayle, who lives in a nursing home in the fictional Westfield Terrace on the Isle of Man. So those are the main characters, and that's the main crux of it. It's about, there's crime, there's romance, and there's a certain exploration of a, you know, themselves as well. The characters look at who they are and what they're doing, and yeah, it's a bit of fun. Like, I can't I can't profess this is, you know, War and Peace or Ulysses. It's really not. It's about 215 pages, but it's fun. And there's just good elements to it. As far as I'm concerned, there are, you know, there are things that people will be able to relate to.
Somewhat more accessible. I've tried Ulysses several times. I've never managed to get past about page 10, it has to be said. I might have better luck with this one.
I don't think anybody should be getting into this, you know, hoping that their lives will be changed. It is just, it's a bit of fun, but the feedback has been so good, and people have, you know, said they had a good laugh at it. But also there's quite a touching element in it as well, where one of the characters has incurable cancer, mm-hmm. and that gives it a certain poignancy, and it also leads us to where the book is dedicated.
And we'll hear more from Connor about that dedication of the book next week here on Spotlight. That's about it for now. I'll be back next week when we'll be hearing about new theatre group Solon, among other joys. See you then. In the meantime, be good, whatever you're doing. Be creative about it. Hey, Moo.